Scripture text for meditation is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 17. And I shall read. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having a conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do good, that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using a liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The Lord bless the reading of his inerrant word. Dr. Jeffrey Koo, Elder of True Life Bible Presbyterian Church and Academic Dean of the Firestone Bible College, is the Lord's messenger this morning. He shall lead us in a pastoral prayer and speak on a holy nation in a hostile world.
Please keep your Bibles open to our text this morning, which is from 1 Peter chapter 2. In Psalm 33, verse 12, we read, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it is identified for us. What is the holy nation? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. On August the 9th will be our National Day. And every year I look forward to this time because we can sing this hymn penned by our beloved pastor, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, on Singapura, to sing this hymn of prayer that God will continue to bless our nation. God bless thee yet with thine increase and peace from year to year. And indeed, our good Lord has blessed our nation with his grace, with his mercy, and with his peace. And he has spared us from natural disasters. You know, many countries, year in, year out, experience many natural disasters. Drought and famine, hurricanes and typhoons, and tsunami, volcanic eruptions, all kinds of natural disasters can befall a nation. But the Lord has kept us saved. We are so well protected. It is only by God's grace. And we are also kept from man-made disasters, civil strife and rioting and wars. The Lord has also kept us safe from all these things. And till now, the Lord has kept us from terrorist attacks. May we continue to pray for God's protection of our nation. and spare us from all these man-made disasters and destruction. And I believe the Lord has heard our prayers. And He is blessing our nation with prosperity and peace. Not for our own enjoyment or pleasure, but so that we can serve Him. So that we can do His will. So that we can fulfill His great commission. And the prosperity and peace that we enjoy, the means and the resources that God has put in our hands must be put to good use for His good purpose to glorify His name, so that we might do good, to help people make peace with God, and to find their way to heaven. That is our purpose, to glorify God and to fulfill His great commission. To help people make peace with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to set their way and put their way. To direct them into heaven. So what does God want us as His people, as His church, a holy nation to do in this lost and sinful world? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 to 17 tells us that God wants us to be His witnesses. And that is my first point. God wants us to be His witnesses. And this we read in verses 9 to 10. The Apostle Peter describes the church here as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And these terms and these names are not only given to the church. As a matter of fact, these names were first given to the nation of Israel. God gave these names to Israel at first in the Old Testament. And we can find this in Exodus chapter 19 verse 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6, where God called Israel His chosen. A royal nation, a holy people, a peculiar people. They are indeed a holy nation and a royal priesthood of believers. And they were appointed and they were chosen for this divine purpose. For what reason? You know, we think that only in the New Testament we have the good news and we have the gospel. Sometimes we think that it is only the church that is the evangelist. And that the gospel is only found in the New Testament. Not so. The gospel was already given in the very beginning. In the book of Genesis, in Genesis 3 verse 15, God was the first preacher of the gospel. How He promised a Savior in the virgin-born Son of God, in the seed of the woman, and how this Savior to come will bruise the head of the serpent, and His heel will be bruised, which speaks of His crucifixion on the cross. The good news of Jesus Christ was already preached by God right in the very beginning, in Genesis 3:15. And the Lord appointed, and the Lord raised up a nation, a holy nation, to be His witnesses in the Old Testament. So there was an evangelist already in the Old Testament. And the evangelist of the Old Testament was the nation of Israel. If you turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And verse 10 to 12, we read here. In Isaiah 43, verse 10 to 12, we read, God told Israel, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Even in the Old Testament, there is only one Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come into the world. And those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, who believe by faith, looking forward to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, according to the Scriptures, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world shall be saved. In the Old Testament, the people were saved not by good works, but by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by looking to the Lamb that was to come. And Israel was the evangelist, pointing to the Lamb of God to come. Only one Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I, and I alone, am God. And we in the New Testament, the New Testament church, is the evangelist today. And we point to the same God. We point to the same Savior. No other Savior save the Lord Jesus Christ. And we point back to Him, what He has done on the cross for us, and how He was raised from the dead. Same Savior. Same gospel, same way, by grace, through faith, in Christ alone. That's how we are saved. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel failed. For she fell into idolatry, and God had to punish her. And when the Lord Jesus finally came, the promised Messiah and Savior, they crucified Him to the cross. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And the denial of their Messiah and their Savior led to Israel's chastisement. And this chastisement of Israel has lasted till today. And till today, Israel has no peace in the land. And since Israel has failed to declare the only living and true God and the only Savior of the world, this privilege and responsibility of evangelism has fallen onto the church. God has now raised up the New Testament church to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now please take note that although Israel is now being chastised by God for her rejection of her Messiah, yet Israel is still God's chosen nation. And God has not cast away the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is not finished. God cannot forget all the promises He made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God must and God will fulfill His promises, because His every word is true. And also He is faithful. And although Israel is now disobedient, yes, she is being chastened by the Lord. And that's why till now there is no peace in Israel. And we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And one day Israel will have peace. And Israel will only have peace when the Prince of Peace returns, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews, their eyes will be opened. And then they will confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And Israel will become a great nation again. And Christ will rule on this earth for 1,000 years, and He will sit on the throne of His father David to rule over this whole world. And we will rule together with Him. So Israel is now temporarily blinded but not totally cast off. And one day the Lord will open her eyes. If you will read Romans chapter 11, this wonderful truth concerning Israel is taught most clearly by the Apostle Paul. And until the fullness of the Gentile be come in, when the last Gentile believer believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord will come to deliver His nation and restore Israel to greatness and give her the faith even to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. So Israel was the Old Testament evangelist, testifying to the Gentiles that there is but one living and true God and only one, and that Jesus Christ is Savior. Now the church has taken over that privilege and responsibility, and we must not fail. We must have no other gods before us. We must proclaim that Christianity is exclusive. No other Savior save Jesus Christ. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No other name except the name of Christ. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And right now, when we preach, we not only preach to the Gentiles, we must also preach the good news to the Jews. They need salvation too. And yes, the gospel is going out to the Jews as well. And we have Jews who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are called Messianic Jews. Born-again Jews who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had the privilege of hearing some of them, like Dr. Gary Cohen, Dr. Raymond Sachs, who preach from this pulpit. They are born-again Messianic Jews. And one day there will be a revival among the people of Israel. And they will not only be revived nationally and physically, they will be revived, more importantly, spiritually. They will see and they will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ when He returns. And so the church now bears witness of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And we must preach to this world of sin. We must preach the power and the grace of God. As Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And I'm thankful to the Lord that True Life BP Church is involved in missions and evangelism. Locally, True Life Church is strongly supporting the Far Eastern Bible College. The Far Eastern Bible College is a missions college to train pastors and evangelists and missionaries for the worldwide harvest fields. We have an international body of students. We have slightly over 100 students from 18 countries, and more are applying to come in. In the past, our students have come regionally from Southeast Asia, mainly the ASEAN countries. But now the Lord is bringing students from further afield, from even the great continent of Africa. And more are applying to come in. And we pray that the Lord will send those who are truly called, genuine servants, to be trained with the good word of God, so that they might bring the good news back to their country. For they are their own country's best missionaries. And may the Lord continue to use the Far Eastern Bible College, which was founded by our principal, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. And then our church is also involved in evangelism. We have our evangelistic band. We have our fellowship groups and our fellowship members who are regularly distributing tracts, going for evangelism on a monthly basis. And we are also supporting mission stations in Bethlehem. We have the Baraka, BP Church, a Palestinian church, which we are supporting. We also have the Brisbane Bible Presbyterian Church. Take note that Brisbane is no longer just a missions outreach. It is now a full-fledged church, for they have recently been registered with the Australian government and approved. So now they are constituted, right, as a church. And we should pray for God's leading to inaugurate the church in Brisbane. So pray with us as we continue in our support of the Brisbane Bible Presbyterian Church that is now pastored by our graduate Hien. That the Lord may help this church to grow. And then we also have our Kemaman and Kuantan missions. In Kemaman, we have the Kemaman Bible Presbyterian Church, and we have members going up regularly to teach the young people there. We have a sizable group of young people of about 40 to 50 each time, meeting on Friday, listening to the gospel, and they are being taught the word of God. So let's continue to pray for the Kemaman Bible Presbyterian Church. And in Kuantan, we also have a kindergarten. Pray for Dr. and Mrs. Wee in Kemaman. Pray for Joshua Koo in Kuantan. And then we are also supporting churches and orphanages in Myanmar, in Yangon itself, as well as in the Chin State. And then we are also supporting the Bible colleges in East Africa, namely in Kenya and in Tanzania. In Kenya, you have the Bible College of East Africa, and the principal of that Bible college is Reverend Dr. Mark Kim, who's a graduate of FEBC. And God willing, at the end of the month, on August 29th, I'll be leaving for Kenya in Nairobi to preach at the East African Christian Alliance, the conference of Bible-believing pastors and leaders in East Africa. And then they are holding it in the Bible College there. And then later on to Tanzania to inaugurate a new Bible College there, to train more workers and servants. The Lord is opening doors also in Sarawak. And if you read your weekly today, one of the designated offerings is going to Sarawak to purchase Iban Bibles for the Iban people. And we have Sister Marilyn Nanta there, again, one of our graduates, serving the Lord faithfully, ministering to the despised, the down and out, those who are blind, those who are handicapped. And she's reaching out to them, even to the Iban people, and they need the Bibles. So we have members in this church who are concerned for missions and evangelism. And I believe the Lord will bless us as we continue to accelerate missions in all these different lands, and may the Lord open more doors for us. Let us also not forget local missions. Soon, the year 2007 scroll calendars with Bible verses will be out, and every member will receive one for free. And this is a tradition that has been set by our pastor, that we should have these scroll calendars displayed in our homes so that the Word of God can be found in our homes. And this is a means not only to remind ourselves to walk with the Lord, but also a means of evangelism, that those who come into our homes will see the Word of God and be saved. And we can also purchase more of these calendars to give out to our friends and our relatives, and then invite them to church. Will we not do this? These are little things we can do for the Lord, so that we can be a holy nation under Him, to be evangelists, preachers of the good news. And then also this year we will have a gospel rally organized by the Bible College, and it will be held on September the 16th. It's just about a month away. So let us do the work of evangelism and invite our friends, our loved ones, our colleagues, our classmates to come for this gospel meeting that will be held here so that they might hear the good news being preached to them. Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yew will be the Lord's messenger. Tracts will be made available soon. Invitation leaflets will be made available soon. And a new gospel bookmark will also be printed very soon. So all these will be done so that we might be responsible to be God's evangelists in this New Testament time. God has given to us this privilege. Let us not fail in the Great Commission. Not only has the Lord called us to be witnesses, but as a holy nation in a hostile world, we are only pilgrims. We are pilgrims. Peter reminds us that we are but strangers and pilgrims in this world. You know what's a stranger? You know what's a pilgrim? Well, I understood this very well in 1989 when I traveled to the United States for my further studies in theology. It was my first time entering into the United States. And when I entered the United States, I was greeted with this sign. You know, when you enter into the immigration checkpoint, these two lanes, and there were two signs there. One is for citizens, right? They put there citizens. And then the other one, the sign was, the word was aliens. Well, I was definitely not a citizen. So that makes me an alien. An ET, extraterrestrial. So I went by that lane. Well, I was welcomed into the United States as an alien, not as a citizen. Although it wasn't very nice to be seen as an alien, nonetheless, it was a good reminder for me that the United States is not my home. It's not my home. Singapore is my home. And I love Singapore very much. So when I was in the States, I did my level best, studied very hard, didn't take any vacation, just accumulate all the credits so that I could finish my studies as soon as possible to return home. And I always tell my American friends that I'm going home while ET go home. That's what I want to do too. I want to come back home to serve the Lord. The United States is not my home. This is my home. This is my home. And in the same way, the Lord also wants us to know that this world is not our home. This world is not our home. We are just a passing through. There's this song that the young people sing, which reminds us our home is beyond this earth. Our home is in heaven. Our home is with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are aliens. We are strangers in this world. And we must always remind ourselves of this. We are not PRs, permanent residents on this earth. We are but TRs, temporary residents. We are extraterrestrials, right? So to speak, because this earth is not our home. We are extraterrestrials. Our home is beyond this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. And as such, our treasures, our ambitions are not to be on this earth. For this earth will one day pass away. Our ambitions and our treasures must be in heaven. And I'm always glad to hear from Christians who love the Lord and they hope to find a job or a career that would give them time for God. Just last Wednesday, I met a young man who is a captain in our army, and he was lamenting how he is so busy in his work that he hardly finds any time for the Lord. And he's hoping to accomplish his stint, his army stint, as soon as possible so that he can find a job or an occupation that would give him more time for the Lord and more time to do his work. Well, may the Lord hear his prayers and grant him the desires of his heart. For these people truly seek God and his kingdom first. And when we seek God and his kingdom first, Jesus has promised all these things that you need will be added unto you. He will provide for all our needs. I wonder how many of us would think like him. Or are we so preoccupied with the things of this life, our jobs, our career, the money that we make, that we forget and we put God at the back seat? Now we need, of course, to work. If we don't work, we don't eat. And we need to work hard too. But we must not, in our work, in our career, forget our God. And we must always remember, it is God who provides for us, for all our needs. And when we honor Him, He will honor us. So Peter tells us in verse 11, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Put away all worldliness. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Friendship with the world can dull our spiritual senses. So let us practice separation in our lives. And we practice separation by keeping ourselves from anything and everything that would hinder us in any way from putting Christ first in our lives. Right? You know, in 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, we read, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And all of us know, in the innermost recesses of our heart, that money or wealth cannot bring us happiness. The material does not satisfy. The material world does not satisfy our hungry and thirsty souls. We know that. What is it that brings true life and true joy and true peace? There are many who are rich and wealthy, multi-millionaires in the world, but they are not happy. The most miserable people on earth. For instance, you have John Rockefeller. John Rockefeller said this, I have made many millions, but they have brought me no happiness. And then you have Andrew Carnegie, another multi-millionaire. And he said this, millionaires seldom smile. Millionaires seldom smile. Unhappy people. They may have all the money in the world, but are they happy? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? No use. Make sure your soul is saved. That Jesus is your Savior. This world will end one day. But if you have Jesus Christ, you will live forever in His eternal kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. So what is happiness? Happiness is to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. Happiness is godliness plus contentment. That is the secret to happiness. Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible tells us. So when we have made peace with God, dear friends, and He blesses us with His peace that surpasses all understanding, we will know how to conduct ourselves in a holy manner in this hostile environment that we live in. In verse 12, Peter tells us, having your conversation or your manner of life, your conduct, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Peter encourages us believers to endure the slander from unbelieving pagans who have wrongly accused the believers of evil deeds that they did not do. And yes, this world is a hostile world. This world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we belong to Christ, we will experience such hatred. How should we respond to the hatred against Christ that we see in this world? Well, you know, in those days, when Peter wrote this epistle, it was possible that Peter wrote this epistle in the time of Nero's persecution. Nero persecuted the Christians when he was reigning. And that happened in AD 64 where he wickedly blamed the Christians for the burning of Rome and put many of the Christians to death. And if we are persecuted today, what should we do? Peter urged the believers to follow the highway of Christ, which is to do good, not to do evil, to do good to those who do evil against us. Jesus also taught, love ye your enemies and do good, and your reward shall be great. Don't hate your enemies, love your enemies, and ye shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the wicked and to the evil. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Jesus on the cross prayed to the Father, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so, by our faithful and godly life on earth, we will put to shame and to silence the faithless and the ungodly and wicked deeds of evil people. So that even on the great day of judgment, at the judgment of the great white throne, even those who are the reprobate will have no excuse but to glorify God. And yes, as Christians, we should not care for our own vindication, but God's glorification. We only care for God's glorification, not our own vindication. And as His children, we want God and God alone to receive all the glory and all the honor, that He may increase and we decrease. So let us not fight evil with evil, but fight evil with good. You don't fight fire with fire, you fight fire with water. So fight evil with good. Romans 12, 17 to 21, Paul tells us, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so how should we as Christians regard our government? Well, Peter here tells us how. We must submit to every ordinance of men, to our government. A Christian's relationship to the government and to government officials is not only taught here in Peter, but also in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 7, 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 2, and Titus 3, 1 to 2. And you can read that for yourselves. The Lord has told us to submit to our governments. And this applies not only to good governments, it also applies to bad governments. We are also to submit to bad government. Just like in the days of Christ, in the days of the apostles, was the Roman government that good? Even under a bad government or evil or wicked government, the church is told to submit to such a government. In the days of Peter, when Nero persecuted the church, Peter told the believers here, submit to the authority of the government. And we do this not because an evil government is worthy of submission or respect. We do this because of God. Because of God's commandment. We do this because God commanded us to do so, to submit to authority. And as believers who love the Lord, we want to obey His word. And that's why we submit. It is commanded of the Lord. And if we disobey, then we sin against God. We don't want to sin against God. But we thank the Lord that in Singapore we have a good and a clean government. How the Lord is so gracious to us. And our government is doing its level best to build a democratic society based on justice and equality so that we might achieve happiness, prosperity and progress for our nation. That's the pledge we take. And our government leaders are mindful of this and they are doing their best. So we ought to pray for our nation. We ought to pray for our leaders. Pray that we might continue to enjoy this freedom to believe and to practice our faith with a good conscience before God. What if the government one day makes it illegal for Christians to believe and practice their faith? What should we do? Of course, God forbid that this should happen. May God continue to grant the church grace and mercy and peace, that we may continue to live peaceably, to do His good work and goodwill. But if one day it happens, if one day it is illegal in this country to practice, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to practice our faith and to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, what must we do? The answer is very clear. The choice is very clear. We must obey God rather than man, even if it means imprisonment and execution. You know, when told by the Sanhedrin never again to preach Christ, Peter made it very clear that he ought to obey God rather than man in Acts 5:29. Peter and his fellow apostles were unjustly flogged and whipped by the authorities. But did they retaliate in kind? Did they resort to violence? Not at all. God forbid. They humbly submitted themselves to the authorities. Of course, they cannot deny the Lord. But by confessing the Lord, if it means that we are to be physically punished, then we will accept it and bear the suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul himself suffered and bore the marks of beatings and tortures on his body. But we will not harm. We must never harm or hurt anybody physically. We must never, never resort to violence and retaliate in kind. Unlike what is taught in certain countries, by the modernists, that there should be liberation, and we liberate the church by using guns and weapons and grenades. Liberation theology, which is found in many countries, as propounded by the World Council of Churches. We reject such theology as liberation theology. Jesus, did he not rebuke Peter when he tried to use the sword? And Jesus told Peter, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now on non-spiritual or civil matters, the government has full jurisdiction. We must pay our taxes, for sure. We must pay our taxes dutifully, whether GST, COE, ERP, whatever it is. Jesus commanded, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And God requires us to worship Him in spirit and truth. Are we rendering that kind of worship? God also requires us to give, to pay our tithes and our offerings. Are we worshiping God with our tithes and our offerings? Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And then verse 17 tells us, honor all men, because they are made in the image of God. Love the brotherhood. Brotherhood here refers to all those who are in the family of Christ. Fear God. Why? Because He is our Lord and our Savior. Honor the King, because He is appointed by God, and it is God's command that we do so, to submit to our government, to submit to authority, to honor our King, whether they be good or bad. Okay? God bless our nation. God bless Singapore. God bless thee yet with thine increase and peace from year to year. Have a happy National Day. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that thou art our King and our God and our Savior. And we long for the day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will return, our Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to the coming kingdom, the kingdom of God to come. And so, Lord, we continue to pray. We will be good citizens, not only on earth, but we want to be good citizens of heaven as well. Remind us that we are to be your witnesses. Remind us, O Lord, that we are but pilgrims on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.